Online Trading Academy is a leader in investing and stock trading education. Sign up for a class today to learn proven strategies on how to trade smarter. Text Cairo to 57682 and register for a free workshop in Bellevue and other surrounding areas. Text Cairo to 57682.
This is our number 10.
Time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. You have a nice Mother's Day?
Had a beautiful Mother's Day. Well, we actually had a lunch, and many members of my family were able to attend, but a few couldn't, so it wasn't as big of a group as we usually have, but it was beautiful.
Nice. Yeah. The weather was just fantastic.
Oh, my. Yeah. And we were on the Seattle waterfront. And again, I just cannot think of any more beautiful place than a sunny day in Seattle.
How rampant were all the tents and tarps down on the waterfront?
You know what? I didn't walk along the waterfront, so I didn't see it. I mean, I just drove right into Pier 70. So, quite frankly, I didn't see any.
Okay.
I mean, there were a lot of people walking around enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's because a lot of people are just staying away from Seattle because of all the filth in the city. Somebody just sent me, I guess some Boston radio guy went on a rant. He had visited Seattle, and he was talking about just what a pigsty it is now, and he used to love the city. But that's the impression people are taking home now from their visits to Seattle these days. Speaking of Mother's Day, There's a pot shop here in Seattle called Uncle Ike's, and they decided to have a Mother's Day special. And what they said is, if you bring mom in with you, you'll get 20% off.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess. So somebody saw this ad and was furious. I understand that you run a business and that not everybody is me. However, for people like me, without family, deals like this feel discriminatory. Where's the orphan as an adult gets 20% off?
I bet if that person walked in there and said, hey, I don't have a mom, but can I still get 20% off? I'm guessing that.
I have no idea. But what a stupid thing to be outraged about. What an absolutely ridiculous thing for somebody to criticize. A business just trying to do something kind of fun and funny for Mother's Day, and everybody's got to get the outrage machine going. Speaking of which, I don't do this very often. I'm very uncomfortable giving my opinion on stories in the news because I'm an objective, down-the-middle journalist. But every once in a while, I do see something in the news that I think demands some commentary. And so we call it News and Comment.
Now it's time for News and Comment, where we go beyond the headlines and bring you perspective and analysis of today's biggest news stories. First, the news.
It's from the Seattle PI. A man who has been convicted twice for pleasuring himself in front of a male Metro bus driver, twice now. He now has been convicted again for exposing himself in front of female bus drivers, and he's been banned from boarding any buses driven by women now.
Oh, the comment.
I find what this guy does to be creepy.
This has been News and Comment. The views expressed in News and Comment are those of Dory Monson and do not necessarily reflect the views of Cairo Radio.
Just like goes from bus to bus.
Yeah. I'm so glad I didn't. I saw that in the rundown. I said, I have nothing to say about that topic.
See, that's the only one I wanted to offer an opinion on.
Did you see that picture that I showed you last week of the homeless guy in front of
Numos,
right?
Yeah. Which neighborhood was that?
Capitol Hill.
Okay, yeah. A listener sent us a picture. A guy just sitting on the sidewalk a homeless guy.
Exposed.
Fully exposed and pleasuring himself. Mm. In the middle of the afternoon.
And pretty, not smiling at the camera, but looking right at the camera that's 3 feet away from him.
Yeah, he knew that somebody was taking his picture, and he was just sitting there doing his thing. Mm. I'm against that also.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't bring out the news and commentary last week.
Yeah, I should have.
It was a busy week.
It was very busy last week. Okay, next stop in the Fastest 15. Oh, this is one of those annoyingly way overplayed songs. There are a couple of channels I listen to, and they play this song constantly.
Ugh. It's a good song. You don't like it?
It's okay.
But you just heard it too much.
Yeah. Oh, that Coffee House channel, they play this all the time. The songwriter and singer is a guy named Howie Day. And he has just pleaded not guilty to a count of fourth-degree assault against his girlfriend of 8 years, and it happened here in Seattle. According to TMZ, he threw a tantrum as his girlfriend picked him up at SeaTac Airport. It involved him slamming his guitar case, his RAV4 Toyota hatch, and his luggage. The girlfriend got out of the car to help him with his bags, but he started screaming at her and pushed her, according to Seattle police talking to TMZ. And so now he's facing these fourth-degree assault charges. I tell you what, if you can still get your girlfriend to pick you up at the airport after 8 years together, that's pretty good. Because there's some point where they're just going to tell you, take an Uber.
Okay, my husband still picks me up at the airport. We've been married for 25 years.
And don't take that from us. I've had this discussion with a male before, and he was trying to find a different way home, and I said, no, like, don't take that from me. Like, that's the fun part, picking up from the airport.
You like picking people up at the airport.
I do.
Mm. Okay.
She's a kind person.
Well, yeah. I just...
And you would just say, hey, just take an Uber?
Yeah. No, I've picked up my girls several times.
There you go.
But mostly because I'd end up paying for the Uber. So, but yeah, it's just...
But back to the story. I mean, now I love the song, but now knowing this, I don't like it so much anymore.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate that when I love songs,
then you
hear about what a creepy, horrible person this... Yeah.
Okay, so don't listen to Collide anymore. Right, cut it off. Next up in the Fastest 15 at Colorado Mesa University, a young woman was offered to give a graduation speech to her fellow nursing students. But when the administrators saw a copy of her speech beforehand, they told her, you must remove a couple of references in your speech. Her name is Carissa Erickson. And in the speech, she wanted to talk about overcoming adversity. And she had a couple of Bible verses that supported her message of overcoming adversity. She said, God always has a purpose. I find comfort in Jesus' words, and I pass them on to you. And then she read from John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take comfort, I have overcome the world. So that was it. She was just going to include that because it meant a lot to her, and it was a big part of her message, overcoming adversity. Well, the administrator said, nope, you can't have any Bible or Jesus references in your speech. And according to the school official who emailed her, they wrote, speeches should be free of any one religious slant, and, quote, some people don't appreciate those references. Well, that's not a good enough reason to take away someone's free speech rights, that some people might not appreciate those references. And so this woman, to her credit, she contacted an advocacy legal group. And they contacted the university and said, you cannot legally, you have no grounds to tell somebody that words that mean a lot to them and are central to their message, and the school immediately backed down because they had no legal ground upon which to stand for that. So good for the school for not fighting for something that was illegal, but to try to impose something that was illegal in the first place. It just shows how whacked out so many of our universities are right now. Next up in the Festus 15. So did you hear about this thing with Sean Hannity and Donald Trump, who's president of the United States now?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what thing?
Apparently, there was over the weekend, it came out that Sean Hannity calls President Trump every night right after his show. He gets off the air at 10 o'clock. So it's kind of like me and Wyman.
I was just going to, that was my line.
Oh.
I was like, it's just like you and Wyman. That was my line.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know it was your line. So, but apparently Hannity is one of the people, when he calls the White House switchboard, he's one of the people that they will always put through to the president. And so every night, Hannity and the Prez chit-chat for a little while.
This is crazy.
Why is that
crazy? Why can't he have a friend?
They're buddies.
Yeah, well, that's crazy that Sean Hannity is in a position at Fox News where he is purportedly doing a talk. Yeah, okay.
I do that with Sawant. I call Sawant at 3 o'clock every afternoon. And, you know, okay, just so chit-chat about the day. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing. So apparently on The View, I haven't had a chance to hear this yet, but apparently on The View this morning, they were talking about the Hannity-Trump nightly phone calls, and it led to a View moment of the day.
And now it's time for The View moment of the day.
Does this relationship confuse you at all or concern you?
I'll tell you, I wonder if Vladimir Putin knows. Oh my God. That's his real boyfriend.
Can you imagine the text that go back and forth? Hey, you up?
Funny sexy dancing's making my morning.
What are you wearing? Is there anything odd about this?
Everyone has a work wife, and her name is Sean Hannity.
This has been The View, moment of the day.
People wonder, do you layer voice upon voice?
I was going to say, did you?
No, I promise.
No, that is unedited.
I promise, that is unedited.
I barely could hear anyone say a darn thing.
Of course.
I don't know why they keep them, I don't know. They're all, the mic levels never change, and so when they're just hysterically laughing and people are trying to talk, they're still laughing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and then you got Hillary. Hillary Clinton, she's the one that Trump defeated for the presidency. Remember that? That was
really?
Yeah, there was a big thing in the news that Hillary wanted to be the president, and then Donald Trump said, no, I want to be, and he won. He beat her. That was a couple years ago now. So Hillary is still going around the world and talking to people. So she was in New Zealand over the weekend to talk about why she lost. And she's going back to, I remember she talked about this months or a year ago, that during the debate, Trump supposedly was stalking her on the stage. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He was walking behind her.
There was something to that, though. I mean, he was a little close.
Yeah. Well, she's still yammering on about that. It's been 2 years since these debates.
And we're still yammering about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, well, of course, when she says nonsense like this.
It was so creepy. I mean, to be stalked on a stage and have someone trying to invade your space and intimidate you was something that I really had never seen before. Usually people are on their best behavior in these kinds of high stakes events. And I had practiced, of course, being on a stage with him. The other two debates, we were behind our podium. So, you know, he couldn't do what he did in the second debate. But I write in the book, I mean, my mind was just spinning because I was thinking, well, maybe I should say something. Maybe I should, you know, whirl around and confront him and say, you know, you're not going to intimidate me. You know, back up, you creep.
I'm not sure I believe that. They really, it was a small stage. I don't think she realized what was happening until people pointed it out afterwards.
Well, no, then, I mean, when you look at it, there was definitely something there. I think he just wasn't aware of.
He might have been
how
aware.
Close, or maybe, he was, maybe he or was trying to be intimidated.
Gamesmanship.
But, yeah.
Gamesmanship. So now, and you've heard the other weird thing with Hillary and all of her appearances this last week?
Oh, no. What's that?
Well, she when she was doing this New Zealand interview,
Oh, and by the way, that explains, though, why she's doing all the, you know, she's still trying to sell her book now. She's in New Zealand. So these topics, when you're trying to sell a book, I mean, she only has so many things you can talk about.
I suppose. But here's the other thing. She's wearing a coat that's buttoned all the way up, mm-hmm. and then she has an $1,100, I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Hermes?
Oh.
H-E-R-M-E-S, mm-hmm. the scarf. It's an $1,100 scarf. And then she was in New York City a couple days ago, and it was 80 degrees out. And she had on this big coat and this scarf, and somebody noticed there's something protruding out of her back now.
Huh.
So it looks like she's wearing a back brace, but when she was sitting for this interview, she was sitting kind of on the edge of the chair in ramrod straight, mm-hmm. and she's always wearing a coat buttoned to the top, and this big scarf at the top, regardless of whether it's 80 degrees out or she's indoors. And so there's all this speculation that she's hiding a back brace because there are a couple pictures where clearly something is protruding in her upper back underneath her coat.
So why?
Why would you hide that?
Well, why does anyone care? Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I just don't know why. She's not going to run for anything again, so I don't know why she's. But it just looks so uncomfortable wearing that coat. In 80-degree weather. So something's up with her back. And we're going to get to the bottom of it before you know it. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, we got a lot to do this afternoon. Coming up at the top of the hour, 2 o'clock, that's when the Seattle City Council is going to vote on this ridiculous business tax for drug addicts. So we will have coverage of that starting at 2 o'clock. Coming up right after the news here at 1:30, the criminal operation that is Sound Transit and the illegal way they calculate your car tabs, he's back. Tim Iman's got another initiative to try to smack away those $30 car tabs and get them restored. So we'll see what that's all about coming up on the Dory Monson Show. Well, the big dominant story around here has been the business tax for drug addicts in Seattle. We've been talking about that incessantly. Meanwhile, those criminals at Sound Transit continue to illegally calculate the value of your vehicle. They continue to collect $100 billion since the beginning of this program through what is currently planned, and traffic and gridlock continues to be worse than ever. What a great investment. So is it time once again to look at stripping away some of Sound Transit's funding? A lot of their money comes, as I said, through the car tabs. And once again, he's back. Tim Iman's trying to put together an initiative for $30 car tabs. Tim Iman joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Okay, how many times have you gone to the voters for $30 car tabs? Because that's kind of how it all started, right?
It is. About 20 years ago was the first time voters said yes to $30 tabs in 1999. They said it again in 2002. We got car tabs down for about 10 or 15 years or so. But in recent years, they're basically, you know, deja vu all over again. They're shooting back up again and doing this illegal, completely immoral, artificially inflating of the value of our vehicles in order to take more money than they're really entitled to. And so our initiative basically, mows the lawn and takes it back down to where it was before, $30 for everybody.
Okay, one of those earlier votes got flipped by the courts, but was it Gary Locke who said, well, clearly this is the will of the people. So it was lawmakers in Olympia who said, we're going to do the $30 tabs. Do I have that?
That's exactly right.
Is my memory right on that?
And Gary Locke said, $30 license tabs are here to stay.
Okay.
So we actually took them at their word when they said that, but they started creeping back up again. So in 2002, we did a second time, and the second initiative was upheld by the courts on all counts, but they still continued to allow Sound Transit to continue to collect that tax because they said your initiative did not explicitly mandate that the government retire their bonds early.
Okay.
And this new effort addresses that by specifically requiring them to retire those bonds so that we can get $30 tabs for everybody, including people in the Puget Sound region.
But when you talk about that the tabs have creeped up, they have creeped up because of the voters. The voters voted for, as misguided as this was, as, you know, criminally sold as Sound Transit, told us what they were going to do with this. It was still a vote of the people. And I tried to warn my listeners about how much it was going to cost, and everybody still seems shocked. But the main driver of our car tabs being through the roof is that the voters voted for the Sound Transit ST3.
And what we're asking the voters to do now, now that they've gotten the bill, now that they know that it's radically higher than what Sound Transit said before the election, now that we have the facts on our side and we know what they said was a lie, do you think this is fair? And I think that plenty of people want to have a do-over, have another shot at this thing. And unlike the time before where Sound Transit gets to gerrymander, it gets to choose who gets to vote, this is an initiative where everybody gets a chance to vote. And when you don't have, when you have absolutely everybody's voice involved in the decision, I think that the level of support for this initiative to do this do-over on Sound Transit and get those car tabs down to $30, I think the level of support in the Puget Sound region is going to drive and be higher than it is on the east side of the
well,
state.
Well, I agree with you. I don't know if that's true, but I agree with you.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, and I certainly want this outcome, but how fair is it to Sound Transit? And I know this sounds bizarre coming from me worrying about fairness with Sound Transit, but how fair is it when the voters, and yes, they screwed over the voters, they lied to the legislature, they lied in their campaign ads, but still, they won the vote, and now you're going to have people in Othello and Pullman and Moses Lake weigh in on whether this main source of funding should be stripped from Sound Transit. I'm just wondering, not only is that fair, but also is it legal?
It's absolutely legal because the voters did it back in 2002, and the court said you could absolutely do that. This is a statewide project that we're dealing with. The legislature has provided money to Sound Transit, and as they spend more and more money, they're going to be liable for it. But I really think this is important to remember. Everybody in the state gets to vote, including the people in the Puget Sound region that voted for this thing. So everybody's getting a second chance to be able to say, now that you know the facts, now that you know the truth, now that you know that you were lied to, now that you know that Sound Transit asked the legislature for $15 billion, lied to them, turned around and asked for $54 billion. When they ask the voters, give us this authorization and your car tabs will only go up $80 and you're getting bills for $300, $400, $500, $700 per vehicle, do you think that's fair? Do you think they should get away with lying to us? All we're doing is giving the exact same voters who voted once the chance to be able to vote again now that they know the truth.
Well, and I'll tell you one of the most outrageous parts of all of this. I just got an email from a listener about 3-4 days ago. He bought a car, private transaction, from a guy that I think he saw it on Craigslist. He bought a car for $6,000, and he said it was a fair price. He went to get the car licensed. The state made him pay taxes and license fees based on a value of $13,300. It's a $6,000 car, and they are assessing it at $13,300, so more than double. And that's part of this, you know, this criminal calculation of our car values that Sound Transit is, along with all the lying. It's just flat out. And if we had an attorney general who, you know, didn't care about, you know, politics as much as Ferguson does, he'd go after them. We should have the feds come in with RICO statutes against Sound Transit, crying out loud.
Well, and the legislature has had two legislative sessions to try and fix that, and they've done nothing. They've done lots of talking, but they've done nothing. Our initiative strips away and repeals completely that valuation schedule and says, regardless of the kind of vehicle you drive, you're, for that little piece of plastic that you stick on your license plate, you ought to pay no more than $30 for that. Don't worry, you're still going to pay an enormously high sales tax when you buy the vehicle. You're still going to have to pay a huge gas tax when you drive the vehicle. You're still paying tolls. But this one fee, this one tax that we impose, we think ought to be a fair, reasonable $30 for everybody. And the fringe benefit, the ancillary benefit of that, is that you also show that Sound Transit can be held accountable, because the legislature isn't holding them accountable. Their 18-member board isn't holding them accountable. The only chance we have is with a statewide initiative where everybody has a voice in the decision, now that we know the truth that what they told us during that campaign was just flat-out filled with lies.
Okay, let's say your initiative passes and we get back to $30 tabs. Would the voters be able to vote for a car tab increase if the legislature came to us and said, hey, we need money for fill in the blank? Could we still raise it based on a vote of the people?
Absolutely. The initiative specifically says if they ever try again, here we are voting for a third time saying we want $30 tabs, but let's say 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road, they say, hey, we'd like to bring something back. The initiative specifically says that's okay, but two conditions. Any tax must be voter approved, and it has to be based on Kelly Blue Book value. It has to be based on that $6,000 value of that vehicle, that guy you were just talking about. They can't artificially inflate it. They do it now.
Okay,
so it's $30 tabs for everybody, but in the future, it protects us by saying if they're ever going to try this dirty dog, awful system again, they have at least to make sure that it's fair and with our permission.
Okay, but and this is where I'm confused, Tim. So if we could raise the tabs with a vote of the people down the road, how can you retroactively strip away a tab increase from a couple years ago that was based on a vote of the people?
Well, that was a vote of the people at the local level. This is an initiative that is state law. State law takes preemption, what's called preemption, over local law. But it's really important for people to remember this, is that everybody in the state gets to vote, including the people in the Puget Sound region. And the people in the Puget Sound region are the people who are the most ripped off, pissed off, angry people that you've ever found in your life. And we found this over the last 2 years, even though we didn't qualify our initiatives, we talked to plenty of people. People are spitting mad about their car tabs, and this initiative allows those people that are getting totally ripped off in the Puget Sound region to get another crack at this thing. And I really believe in my heart of heart, in my gut, I just know the voters are on our side, and I'm willing to put in my own money in order to be able to make sure that that actually happens.
Well, I mean, especially my listeners down in Pierce County who said no to Sound Transit. They know that they're not going to get any benefits from this, and they are still getting ripped off by all of this. Okay, so real quick, only have a few seconds. How much money would this strip away from Sound Transit?
They brought in $54 billion that we authorized. They say, if we believe their numbers, that our initiative would impact about $7 to $9 billion of it. So it's about a 10 or 15% of their revenue. That's a nice, swift kick in the shins for them. And like I said, I've liquidated my retirement fund, and I've loaned the campaign $500,000 because I really believe in this thing, and I have faith that the voters are on our side, and we're going to prove it.
When do you have to have your signatures in?
We have till from now until the end of December, and so we have 8 months to be able to make it happen. And but with that $500,000, that's allowed us to use paid petitioners who are out there right now, and they're just vacuuming up signatures. People are so spitting mad. They're eager to sign these petitions. People are wearing these orange T-shirts with $30 tabs on it. All the paid petitioners are out there. So look for an orange T-shirt. That's a person that you can sign a petition with.
Well, look, I'm all for this. Sound Transit is a criminal operation. It's the most wasteful public agency in our nation's history, and I'm all for this. Okay, so if people want to help, where do they go?
I appreciate it. It's voterswantmorechoices.com. Okay. That's voterswantmorechoices.com. And the neatest part about this initiative, think about what Sound Trans is going to say. This is totally not fair. You're letting everybody have a chance to be able to vote. We need to be able to only choose the people who get to vote. And their gerrymandered district is probably the worst bastardization of government we've ever seen, where they get to choose who gets to vote. Our initiative says everyone has a voice, because when you're blowing $54 billion, that affects everybody in the state of Washington.
Got it. All right, Tim Iman, go to voterswantmorechoices.com if you want $30 tabs back. Tim, good talk to you. Appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on.
And if you have thoughts on this, let me know. You can text me at 98973, 98973. Let me know how you feel. Would you be all in for $30 tab restoration? 98973 for your text messages. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. Industrious Office is just an amazing workspace right in the heart of downtown Seattle, right on 6th and Lenora, right where everything Seattle has to offer is on your doorstep. And at Industrious, you can start with the right size office and then scale up as your team grows. Go to industriousoffice.com/Cairo, schedule a tour, mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hi, I'm Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. When Cairo Radio listeners miss their favorite show, they find it on demand. Maybe you should be advertising here. Give me a call and I'll help you out. 206-726-6819.
There's a job posting City of Seattle has up. Birth to age 3. Program and policy advisor. And they said, yeah, since we passed that sugar beverage tax, now we're going to start sinking our claws into kids right at birth. And I talked about this a couple of hours ago. The city of Seattle can't seem to do anything right, whether it's the seawall or the streetcars, the Seattle tunnel, the head tax, it's chaos, homelessness everywhere, heroin needles everywhere. The last thing we need is to give City of Seattle government more control over our kids from birth to age 3. Oh, and how much does this job pay? $62 an hour, which works out to about $130,000 a year. So that they can teach our kids the Seattle government way? Woo! All right, got breaking news on the head tax coming up in moments.